Let me ask you a question. Is there something in your life where God is calling you to step back up? To step into, try again, an area, something He called you to at one time, and maybe you started, but you got distracted? Fear? Sin? And you stopped. God's saying, I'm calling you to step back up and to move forward in this area that I've called you to. Whether it's to be someone that He's called you to be or to do something that you know is right, that His Word speaks of it. This was the place that Joshua and the nation of Israel found themselves in. Numbers chapter 13 and 14 would tell us 40 years earlier, God was saying the very same things He's saying here in chapter 1 to Israel. I'm giving you a land. It is a good land. You're in the wilderness. And you're eating manna. What is that? Exactly. I'm dropping quail into your kettles at night. You have no home. But I'm going to give you a home. And so Moses, as the leader, said, let's go take a look. Let's survey the land as we go to take it, Israel. And God told Moses to call out a leader from each one of the 12 tribes as they go into the land to take that survey and come back. And let's get ready to take what God is giving to us. 12 leaders went. Joshua was one of them. Another named Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, was one of them. And Joshua's, who's he from? None. There you go. And then in that season, they came back, the majority, the great majority, 10, said, you know what? It's like God said, look at the grapes we brought back. Huge. I don't know if they were that big, but they were big. Large clusters. But here's what they said. But the people are fierce. The cities are fortified. We saw the descendants of Anak. These were really big, giant people. They were there. We can't go. We can't take that. We look like grasshoppers in their sides. They will take us out. And Joshua and Caleb, they tore their clothes. They said, what are you talking about, fellas? God is with us. God said, this is the land He's giving to us. Of course we can take it because God goes before us. God is giving it to us. Will we have to battle? Will we have to fight as we take it? Absolutely. But God goes before us. Jehovah Nissi, right? God is our banner. He's calling us. He says, go. And you know what the people did after they heard those two reports? They picked up stones, ready to stone Joshua and Caleb because of their faith to believe God and trust God. God didn't allow that to happen. And God gave a consequence because of the rebellion and the lack of faith to believe Him. To believe Almighty God, what He said He was going to do. And think about, God had already delivered them out of Egypt. In an incredible, miraculous way. A sea parted, literally parted, and a whole nation went across in dry land. God had taken care of them in this season. And they were saying, we may as well go back to Egypt and die as slaves. We may as well just die in this wilderness. And what God said after their rebellion and their cry out, He said, folks, that's what's going to happen. All of you who are 20 and older, you're going to die out over the next 40 years here in this wilderness because of your rebellion and your lack of belief in what I said I was going to do and where I was going to lead you into this promised land. But your children, those who are 20 and under, they will inherit the land that you would not inherit. All except Joshua and Caleb and their families. They will inherit because they believe me. And so now we have this season. Now we have the 40 years had passed. We have Moses who would not even go into the land because in a time of frustration and of anger, he disobeyed God. And God said, Moses, because of that, you're not going into the promised land. That's your consequence. God says, take me and my instructions seriously. And there's consequence when we don't. Parents, you know that. Those who have raised those who are standing here, those who are standing here and raising their children, of course you tell your children, you love your children, you guide your children. This is right. This is safety. This will protect you. And if you go against those borders, there is danger. There is trouble. There is consequence. And God's our perfect Father. And He tells us that as well. So I want to read the first 9 verses of Joshua, and then we'll come back and I want to share with you 3 thoughts. If God is speaking to you about an area in your life where you've slowed down or you've just stopped and you've taken back because of fear or faithlessness or disobedience, where God might be saying to you today, step back up. Move forward because I am leading you and I will be by your side. First 9 verses of Joshua chapter 1. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, into the land that I am giving to them, to the people of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given to you, just as I promised to Moses. And now he gives boundaries in verse 4, right? So wherever your foot goes, it's yours. Oh, and by the way, your foot has to go in between these boundaries. You step out, you're on your own. From the wilderness in this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites to the great sea, toward the going down of the sun, shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you or forsake you. Be strong and courageous, for you shall cause his people to inherit the land that I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, being careful to do according to all the law that Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may have good success wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous? Do not be frightened, and do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Number 1. God's promise to his children is now revisited. God said this is going to happen. So it's not happening for this generation. It's going to happen for another generation. So he's saying to them, receive it. Receive it. The majority wouldn't 40 years earlier. And so as we look here, God's saying, Joshua, this promise is for you. Israel, this promise is for you. We see it again in those first few verses. What did you say in verse 2? I am giving to them, the people of Israel. God's saying, I'm giving it to you. Do you hear me? I'm giving you this. Notice verse 3. I have given to you. It's past tense. And Joshua would remember 40 years earlier. Yes, you did. But we wouldn't go in. We wouldn't receive. And Joshua had been waiting patiently for these 40 years because God told him, you are going to go in. We can wait well, and we can wait not so well. We can fret, complain, and mutter. That's waiting not well. Or we can wait being diligent, exhaling, resting in God, doing what he calls us to do until that time where he says, let's revisit it. Let's move forward. And then he gives those boundaries in verse 4. We studied that last week. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. What a promise. Can I tell you that's key to the whole thing? God's promise to him. Just like I was with Moses. Look at the next verse. Just as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you or forsake you. The secret of Moses' success was God, was his presence. You remember when Moses met God and God told him what was going to happen? Who, me? You don't understand. I don't have a clue. I mean, meek man. I'm not a man of articulation and words and leadership. I'm a mess. I don't even know who I am. And God says, I am is sending you. You tell them I am is in charge here. Moses was fearful, was frightened, he was inadequate, and he expressed those things to God all the time. But you know what he did? He took a step forward. Every day, he kept taking steps forward. And isn't that what courage is? Courage is being scared to death. I'm outnumbered. It's just crazy. My back's against the wall. There's the ocean. But to listen to God and believe God and to do the things that God says that go against your innate being, that goes against the culture around us, that is what needs to happen. And that's what Moses did in those times that he was frightened. The inner pressure to maybe just step back and conform. He moved forward. And so verse 6, God now speaking to Joshua, be strong and courageous. Why? For you shall cause his people to inherit the land that I swore to their fathers to give them. Joshua, it's going to happen. I'm going to work in and through you, Joshua, to make this happen. I want you to lead my people. They're not your people. They're my people. Because I made a promise. I'm a covenant-keeping God. I made the promise first to Abraham. Then I made it to Isaac. I made it to Jacob. I made it to Moses. You know what? I made this promise to these people's parents. The ones whom they buried in the wilderness. I told them that their children would inherit this land. And so now, Joshua, be strong and courageous because you're going to be doing something that's new for you, that's out of your comfort zone. Last week we studied how God prepared Joshua for such a task, to be the successor of Moses. He was at first a slave, an Egyptian slave, having to live in the midst of that suffering, that heartache, never knowing what would happen. And generation after generation of Hebrew had died as Egyptian slaves. And then he was a soldier. He was the one whom Moses called, that God says, call Moses and he will defeat the Amalekites. And Joshua did that. And then God told Moses, make a special announcement in the ear of Joshua so he might know, I defeated the Amalekites. I used you, Joshua, as a soldier. And then we saw Joshua as what? As a servant of Moses. He was his right-hand man. He was an assistant. But can I tell you, in all of those things, Joshua received the orders. As a slave, he's not given orders. As a soldier, he's receiving orders. And as a servant and assistant to Moses, he's receiving orders. Now, he's the leader. Now, he's giving orders. He's out of his comfort zone. And God says, be strong and courageous in this new thing that I've called you to, because you're going to do it. But remember, I'm giving it to the people. I've called you to leadership. Deuteronomy 31, verse 2 through 8, because this didn't happen in a vacuum. God had already had a plan. God was measuring up Joshua when he was a slave, when he was a soldier, when he was an assistant. He was measuring him for this position of leading people, his people, into the promised land. We've seen it throughout the scripture. And last week we looked at a number of those scriptures in Exodus when he served in all those three capacities. God was very much involved. And whatever Joshua did, he did with all his heart, looking to please God, to honor God. And God saw him through. And we see now the last words of Moses before he died. Deuteronomy 31. And he, Moses, said to them, I'm 120 years old today. I'm no longer able to go out and come in. The Lord has said to me, you shall not go over this Jordan. I've been thinking last summer, Danielle and I, in one of our vacations, I'm thinking, when's it time to bow out? You know, I've been serving here at Open Arms for 24 years. And, you know, I'm a planner and always have been. And thinking through that, I'm thinking, do I transition out at 60? Maybe tone it down a little bit and maybe do something here but part-time for a few years. Or maybe, I don't know, thinking through that. And I read this, I go, oh, my, I've got, you know, 60, 70 years to go. I'm ready to go. All our other pastors, and you just went, oh, man, no. I know that laugh. You're in trouble. Verse 3, the Lord your God himself will go over before you. He will destroy these nations before you so that you shall dispossess them. And Joshua will go over at your head as the Lord has spoken. And the Lord will do to them as he did to Sihon and Og, the kings of the Amorites, and to their land when he destroyed them. And the Lord will give them over to you, and you shall do to them according to the whole commandment that I have commanded you. Be strong and courageous. Do not fear or be in dread of them, for it is the Lord your God who goes with you. He will not leave you or forsake you. Moses remembered how their parents were fearful and in dread, and he says, now, you ready to go over? God saying Joshua is going to lead you over. See, this didn't happen where in that vacuum of leadership, somebody stood up and said, okay, it's going to be me. It makes sense. I was assistant. God had already planned. So when we're looking and listening and following after God, he will make those things clear to his people. Then Moses summoned Joshua and said to him in the sight of all Israel, be strong and courageous, for you shall go with this people into the land that the Lord has sworn to their fathers to give them, and you shall put them in possession of it. It is the Lord who goes before you. He will be with you. He will not leave you or forsake you. Do not fear or be dismayed. Moses was simply speaking into Joshua what God had spoken into Moses, and now God is speaking it into Joshua. And you and I have the very word of God before us, all of it true and profitable, to teach us what's right, to rebuke us when we're wrong, to correct us how to get right, because we will stumble in many ways, and to train us up as men and women prepared for every good work that he has for us. And Joshua, he's saying, this is your time. Secondly, God, as you and I are acknowledging and recognizing, God's calling me back. He's saying, here's your second chance. Arise and go now. I don't want to dwell on why you didn't go before. You learned lessons. That was good. But now you're going with a clean slate. You're going with my grace. Only be strong and very courageous. Here it is again. For what, God? You already told me that. You told me I'm going to lead the people in the land, and that's new. And so I need to be strong and courageous. Well, guess what? There's something else you need strength and courage for, Joshua. We see it. Being careful to do according to all the law that Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may have good success wherever you go. Can I tell you, it takes strong character. It takes courage to do what God says here in his word. Fathers, today we celebrate you. You who are sons, you hopefully will reach out to your fathers. It takes courage. It takes inner fortitude and strength to those whom you love and whom you lead to say, we with grace and patience will follow what God says, family. Single men, for various reasons in this place, to live separate, holy unto God, when all around in our culture screams and says, deviate from God's way and from His word, and do this and do that, go here. God says it takes strength and courage in this day to look to my word, to meditate on my word and not turn from it to the right or to the left, to not justify and take a shortcut. And he tells Joshua that very thing. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. Joshua, you're going to be a busy guy. Yes, your responsibilities have ramped up. But in the midst of this chaos, in the midst of the difficulties, you must chew on my word. You must know it. You must think through it. You must talk about it all the time with others, to yourself. Jesus said something quite similar. Man does not live on bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Why? Because it's God's voice, mouth, instruction, guidance to us, His promises, His warnings, His good word to us. And then he says, you shall meditate on it day and night. That's intentional, focused thinking and reflection. How do I apply God's truth in this circumstance this morning, this afternoon, tonight? Deuteronomy 6, the charge given to these parents. What a great verse. As you rise in the morning, you see, it's not just Bible study time. It's as you're preparing breakfast, as you're getting out of bed, as you're driving, as you're walking, as you're doing yard work, as you're doing all kinds of things, there's opportunity to be talking through, talking about God's word, His principles. To ourselves, whatever our life and relational circumstance might be, to our children, to our spouse, to our parents, to our kids. And he's reminded Joshua of that. So be careful to do according to all that is written in it. We don't meditate it just to know it. We meditate it to do what it says. To do what it says correctly, with care. To take God seriously. Joshua could trust and do what God said because God is trustworthy. God's plan for your life and for my life is already written out, and He's competent and says, so listen and follow me. And then we notice, for then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. There's no mention here or guarantee of a financial prosperity. He's saying, but then you will make your way prosperous. God is referring to His way, to His walk. He's referring to His life. Your life will be one of prosperity and success because you will be known as a man of integrity that can be followed because you follow God. You will be listened to. Will people come against you? They sure will. In your own camp? Absolutely. They came against Moses. That's just part of leading, Joshua. But be okay. Handle that well. Lay down your defense mechanisms and lean into the Lord. He knows how to handle that. Your way, I will make your way prosperous. You will flourish. Why? Because I'm with you. I will lead you. When your ways please me, I make even your enemies to be at peace with you. When you take my truth, and as difficult and as challenging as they are in whatever life circumstance, and we are a church, we call ourselves a first generation church. How many have come to Christ as adults here? It's got to be 70% of us met Him over 18. How many came to a place of grasping and conviction of the gospel called by Jesus, and you surrendered to Him, and you were the first in your family? And maybe your parents still don't follow after Him, or your children, or your spouse. How challenging, how difficult. But you lean into the Lord, and you look to His word, and you rest in Him, and you are strong and courageous to do what He says in the midst of those challenges, in the midst of the heartache, in the midst of the pressure, because those around you will not and do not have the same desire that you do. God knows you need to be exhorted. He You need to be reminded. You need to be encouraged to have courage. He says it three times here. To who? To Joshua. I know my girls pretty well. Victoria and Alexandra. I know Danielle well. And there's times where they're about to venture into something new, and they just go, and they go without a word from me. But there are other times where I know this is going to be a challenge to them. This is going to be hard for them. And I will speak to them encouragement and pray with them and pray over them consistently. And I'll repeat those things because I know them and I know their inner part. I don't know it perfectly, but I know them. And I know when it's time to speak up and to say, you can do this. Be strong. God is with you. You're following His word and His principles. Be courageous. Yes, you're fearful. Yes, there'll be a challenge, but God is with you. Do it. Why? Because I know they're frightened. I know they're pensive. I know the things they're good at. They just go. God knew Joshua had inner fear and struggle. And so He constantly reminded him. It's okay to be reminded that we need to be strong and courageous. And here, so important, God's saying, as you step back into it, Joshua, as you step up, as you arise and now go, fulfilling the promise that I have for you and for the nation, I will be present with you. My presence will guide you. And He reinforces that. Lean into me. And for us as New Testament believers, He says, lean on and look to Jesus. We see that in verse 9.3. God's presence will guide and it will be reinforced. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened. Do not be dismayed. God, again, you're saying be strong and courageous. This time, God has phrased it as a command. It's stronger here than it is in the other two places. Why? Because there is no doubt Joshua will be tempted to believe that God has abandoned him, that God has abandoned them, Israel. Because of what you and I could read ahead of time, we know what they will face. We know the challenges from within their camp and from the enemy without. We know there will be consequences because of their sin. And God will lead out on that consequence and He will be tempted. God's not with me. God's not with us. And God says, His reminder here, oh, yes, I will, Joshua. In every battle, even in your stumbling, even in your poor leadership, I'm not going to leave you nor forsake you. I will lead you through. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. You see what happened to Israel early on? They took their gaze off of God. They drowned out His promise to them and they looked at what they saw and what they reasoned, and within their own strength, they forgot the incredible, powerful, supernatural work of God who had called them, who had chosen them, who had done so many wondrous supernatural things in their life. And all they saw was what they saw. And they saw enemies and they saw fortified cities and they saw giants. And sometimes you and I, that's what we see in our day. And the Lord says, be strong and courageous. I am with you, the great I am, the God who parted the Red Sea, who would again now part the Jordan River, who has led you, who has called you, who has taken you up out of your muck and mire and set you on a rock. And I put a song of praise into your mouth. You can praise me even in the midst of the storm because I am in the boat. Yes, it is stormy and it's raging, but I am with you. Be at peace. In this world, you will have trouble, but take heart. I've overcome the world. Jesus would say in Matthew 11, a call to the religious leaders who were so hypocritical. And whenever He spoke to them, there was always the people around. And they knew that the leaders were no longer following God and they were putting burden upon the people. And Jesus would say to everybody who would hear, come to me, you who are weary and heavy burdened, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for it is light. For I am gentle and I am humble in heart, and you will find rest for your soul. But it starts with coming to him. That's surrender. Okay, Jesus, but I need to fortify this. I need to take care of this. Come to me. And for those of us in this room who by his grace have come to him and by faith alone believed on him, you are sealed. You are marked in him. You have an inheritance. His Spirit has come upon you, has come in you. And that is the mark and that's the seal of the fulfillment of the redemption that was purchased for you at the cross. And he says, so I'm with you. My very presence is in you. The comforter, the teacher, the one who authored this book, he is in you. The very Spirit of Christ, the power and the picture of the Trinity at work all the time. So Jesus would say to his disciples who had gathered that night to celebrate the Passover, which is significant even to Joshua, because that's when they were released from Egyptian bondage. And he's speaking that night and he says, yes, we're celebrating Israel's release from Egyptian bondage, but fellas, I'm about to go to a cross. There's blood about to be shed. And if that is poured over the mantle of your heart, you will be freed from spiritual bondage. But here's the key. My Father is the vine dresser. He's the pruner. He knows what's going on. He knows what needs to be lifted up and cut out. Let him do it. He's perfect in it. But me, I'm the vine. You, your branches. You need to abide in me. You need to remain in me. You need to hang on to me as if your life depended on it, because for a branch, that's exactly the way it is. There is no resource in and of the branch if it's not hanging on and connected to the vine. And so for you and I today, and for Joshua in his day, be strong and courageous. For Jesus says, you can't do anything. Oh, you can work your job. You can feed your children. You can play well on the sports field. You can accomplish many things in the classroom and in our culture and in our society. But he's saying, I'm talking about those things that really matter to God. Now that you're a believer, he was talking to his disciples. Those things that really matter, you can't do it. Those are spiritual things. Those are otherworldly things. The fruit of my Spirit changes your character when you are simply abiding, when you're walking, keeping in step with me. You will bear much fruit. Tremendous fruit, spiritual fruit. People will be plucking off of you the branch and you won't even know it. They will be refreshed. They will enter into health. Because that's what spiritual fruit is and does. But I'm the key. So my exhortation, my encouragement to you is let us be strong and courageous. Because God has a promise for his children. And where in your personal life and in your walk has that been quenched? For various reasons. Do you need to say, Lord, I hear you this morning. I'm going to arise and I'm going to go and I'm going to fulfill the promise that you have for me as a man, as a woman, as a boy, as a girl. I'm going to go, but I'm not going to go on my own with my logic and my reasoning. I'm going to go back into your word and I'm going to meditate on it and I'm going to remember it. I'm going to talk about it and I'm going to find some people that will talk to me about it and chew on this. And then, Lord, By your help and with your grace, I'm going to do what you say to do. And I'm going to remember it's hard to do that in this world that I live in and battling my own flesh that doesn't want to. But I'm going to do it because I'm hearing you say I can be strong and courageous. Why? Because you're with me. And it is your strength that work in me that I can do it. I love what Paul says to the church at Philippi. He says, I've heard about your testimony, how you're working out, how you're living your salvation. Continue to work out your salvation. Notice he says, don't work for it. It's a gift. You've received it, the promise. Work it out. How? With fear and trembling. That's what God says to Joshua. Take me serious. Take the life and the promise that I have for you. Work it out. Taking me serious. For it is me, God, who works in you to will and to do for my good pleasure. I will strengthen your will. I will infuse in you courage and strength and actually give you the ability to live it out. Because in this day, Jesus says, I'm the vine. The power is in me. You yield, walking, surrender to me and see what will happen. That's what I will do. Church, guests, friends, wherever you might be, maybe today is the time that you come to Jesus for the first time. Not with your religion, and even not in the opposite, where you say, John, you don't have a clue. I've lived such a wasted life. He doesn't want me. Leave that. And you just come. And you say, you make a promise. God says, I call all men everywhere to repent and to believe. Repent means have a change of heart. Have a change of mind. The behavior will come. But it starts with a heart, with a mind. I've been wrong about you, God. Jesus, I don't have a clue. But today something has stirred. And Jesus, I'm going to take that step. I'm going to look around and somebody to my right or to the left or going to fill out the connection card. And I want someone to help me understand more what that means to come to you, to be surrendered to you, to begin a life journey in Jesus Christ. And for those of you who know and have made and have been called and are following him, let's remember he's never going to leave us nor forsake us. So whatever he's called you to do and to be, he's given us his word and his power to do it. Let's do it. Father, I thank you that in this journey and we don't walk alone. I thank you for the exhortation to be strong and courageous because, God, it's difficult and challenging and we have fears. We have hesitations. We have pride. It's all kinds of red seas. But Lord, the amazing thing is we have you and we only have you because you have us. You have called us. You have saved us. You have redeemed us. You have sealed us. We can walk this walk in this light with your light, with Christ leading us. So may your word be a lamp unto our feet. Lord, may it be that light that we can see a little further down the road onto the path. And may we walk with others, chewing on this truth and following it, encouraging others, reminding them of your promise. In Jesus' name, amen.